Welcome to Bleeping Motherhood. I'm Bleeping Audrey with Bleeping Carrie, and we'd like to welcome you to our show this evening. Carrie, I'd love to know what you are drinking as we are chatting. What do you got?
Well, tonight is not a very exciting concoction. It's one of our standbys. Much like your mic keeps your house stocked with Bud Light, I keep our house stocked with vodka and cranberry juice and orange juice. And so that's what I'm drinking. Is that a Bay Breeze? I can't really remember, like, what I was trying to drink when I was not of age. It seems like one of those drinks that I would drink when I was not of age.
That does sound yes. I don't know what the Bay Breeze sounds familiar. Probably is that, but you know what? Who really gives a shit if there's alcohol in it? It's my kind of drink.
And Mom, I was not drinking when I was not of age.
Yes, well, if they believe that, then that's great. Yes, and I will say that there's nothing quite like a white wine spritzer. I know that. I've drinking these in the past, and by popular demand, I'm going for it again. Is that what you call them? I don't know. I call it the white wine spritzer. It's kind of a lame white wine with some ginger ale in it. So
we were inspired by you this Easter, and we created what I called a white wine spritzer, which was white wine and seltzer. And cranberry juice. And Mary Jane cherry juice. Because why not?
Yeah, that actually sounds pretty delicious. I myself, and my brother actually, likes to mix white wine with cherry, Marciano cherry juice and some carbonated beverage. So, hey, look at us. So, let's get right to it.
You're an inspiration, Audrey.
Yay, that's what I'm here for. Something kind of interesting, and I know this is sort of an emotional topic for a lot of people. It's our birth, our children's birth stories. And me, for myself, I was very, very nervous. Did you get that?
What? You're like the first person I've ever heard of that was nervous about giving birth. I can't imagine.
Well, no, I looked. The reason I'm actually laughing is because I look over. For those of you who are unaware, Carrie and I do this podcast via video, and I just looked over at the video, and I noticed that I'm giving her a straight shot to my nostril, straight up my nostril. So.
It's a good look for you, Audrey. I really like this angle.
I felt kind of bad for a second, and then I was like, you know what?
It's been interesting where you've kind of moved the phone around to, like up the nose, like full-on larynx. It's been good.
All right. Well, now that you have that visual, so let's go to a very different visual, which is my birth canal. And
this birth canal. Let's go from your nose to your birth canal. That works.
So... the birth story of my children, I was a bit nervous, especially with my first. You don't know what to expect, and I'm not going to go into every gritty detail, but I did have...
The angle I'm getting right now, if it was like black and white video, would seem like it's gritty detail.
So to make it somewhat short and sweet, because I do have two kids and two stories, but with my first... it was, you know, they tell you with your first, the labor is going to be really long and, you know, expect it to be very difficult. And I felt I lucked out. I had it was a start to finish 8-hour birth. My water broke in my kitchen. We got to the hospital and they said, you know, prepare to be in labor all night long. And the next thing I know, I'm in pretty good pain, and they checked me, and I was like 7 or 8 centimeters, and they actually had to run out and get the epidural dude because they sent him home saying, you know, she's not going to be ready she's going to be all night, you know, and labor, you know, laboring. So they came in, they rushed him in, they gave him an epidural. And I would say within 45 minutes of pushing, my daughter Sophia was here. So it was crazy quick in the scheme of things. And I mean, I didn't feel much because the epidural sort of did its job and I was super, super happy. I was pretty miserable in a bit of pain for a while. And that epidural worked. And I really don't even know how I pushed her out because I couldn't really feel anything. However, with my son, they tell you that your second, everything goes a little bit quicker. And I pretty much cut it in half. He was here in 5 hours. And I got an epidural. They actually had to break my water. And they gave me an epidural. And I felt everything because the second hospital I delivered at was a different, you know, they did things a little differently and they didn't give me a strong enough dosage. So I really felt, I felt that ring of fire. I felt everything. So it was almost like having a kid for the first time because you really did feel a body, a human, you know, plummeting out of your
out of your, like your, a race car driver.
Your hole. Yeah. So, yeah, it was pretty intense. You know, a lot of emotion, a lot of insanity. You know,
I feel like there's more to the story about Sophia than you're actually leading on to.
Well, with both kids were a week and change overdue.
Wasn't there a crime scene investigation involved?
Good God. You have a great memory. That totally slipped my mind.
Am I telling you your birth story?
There totally was a crime scene investigation. So let me back up. With my daughter Sophia. So John Gotti was discovered in my placenta. JK, he really wasn't. After my daughter, after my daughter was delivered, you know, you deliver the placenta. So I hear the doctors like talking and the nurse, you know, like, and me and my husband are looking at each other like, what's up? And they're like, well, we're going to have to send this off to the lab. They're talking about my placenta, to be investigated. There was apparent cross veining, they called it, going on in my placenta, which could have caused a lot of issues, complications. Had the cross veining, you know, been slightly different, there could have been bleeding and bleeding out and all kinds of crazy stuff. So for whatever reason, they wanted to send it off to the lab in a baggie and have it looked at. And when, you know, I'm thinking, wow, this sounds like pretty interesting. I can't wait to hear the outcome. And I asked like every single follow-up, what was up with that placenta? And they're like, yeah, we don't really have any feedback on that. So I don't know.
It's irrelevant.
I guess it's irrelevant. They were just like, you're kind of lucky. Like it could have went awry. I was like, okay, I guess that's all I need to know. And that's pretty much my story. So the only thing I'll add is that, each kid didn't want to leave the womb. They were over a week late. I was scheduled for inductions with both kids and with both, the morning, the evening before the scheduled inductions, I, you know, miraculously sort of just went into labor and I didn't have to get induced, which was sort of a little bit of a worry for me. But yeah, that's all she wrote on my uterus. What's your birth stories, Carrie?
Two kids, two birth stories. The second one is largely inconsequential. Mm-hmm. She just kind of happened. Everything went fine according to plan. The first one, you know, it's a little bit kind of like the circumstances surrounding it were a little bit more interesting, I guess. We, at the time, were living in a one-bedroom ranch with an unfinished attic that when we bought the house, we'd always planned on finishing it. And we lived in the house like 2.5 years, and then I get pregnant, and then 6 months before I'm due, we decide that that's when we're going to finish it, which incidentally is never a good idea, especially when you're going to do it yourself. So, I mean, you know, fast forward to, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks before I'm due, wouldn't you know it, I have, not quite preeclampsia, but I have high blood pressure, so they put me on bed rest. In the meantime, like our bedroom is the only room that isn't being worked on. It's like not having had the house sheetrocked. So not only am I confined to my bed, but I'm confined to my room because I can't go anywhere in my house. And, you know, it got so stressful and Mike was so busy working on the house that he hurt his back. And 1 week before I was due, he had hurt his back so badly that he took the train into Manhattan and then turned around and got on the train home because he was in so much pain. So we go to the hospital so they can just, like, give him muscle relaxers.
Yikes.
But, you know, at the hospital, I have to drop him off at the ER and go park the car. And people in the elevator are like, oh, no, maternity's on the wrong floor. And I'm like, oh, no, we're not here for me. We're here for him. So that was pretty stressful. Then 3 days before I'm due, we have a tremendous snowstorm so badly that it knocks out power.
Yikes.
And our house is heated by electricity. So we're able to, like, dig out of our house and go to Panera and spend the next 2 days at Panera because at least they have electricity and cable and all of that.
I love Panera, too. It's, I guess, a great place to be if you really have to be.
Yeah. So the end of my bed rest was spent at Panera, which was kind of tough.
I guess it does kind of suck for you, yeah. But they do have a lovely broccoli and cheese soup.
Yes. We got there like breakfast time, ate breakfast there, ate lunch there, and then finally went somewhere else for dinner. One of the guys that we saw there the second day in the row, he's like, hey, when are you due? I'm like, hey, tomorrow. So then the day that I'm due, I go back to my OB, and he had been measuring big the whole time, and so they did another ultrasound and said, hey, he's over 10 pounds. His head is 10 centimeters. That's about as big as you get. Mm. And he's going to have shoulders.
Oy.
So we strongly recommend a C-section. I'm like, hey, all right, that works for me. And they're like, how's 4 o'clock? I'm like, okay, great. So I called my parents. And because they were going to wait till I went into labor to leave because they live in South Carolina. And my dad was out golfing. And so I called him on the golf course to be like, hey, you ready to be a grandfather? And it was really sweet. He told me that, you know, he tried to golf some more and just said to the guys he was golfing with, I can't. I'm about to be a grandfather. I got to go. Then while still supposed to be on bed rest, while still working, our house is being worked on, we realized that we need to pick out paint colors that need, the house needs to be painted. So the 3 hours prior to having a child, we spent at Home Depot getting paint.
Oy. Oh, God.
And at Wendy's watching Mike eat a burger and fries.
Oh, man. Home Depot. I used to hate, we did a lot of home improvement while I was pregnant with both kids, and Home Depot was like the worst place for, I hated being there. And then like, I constantly had to pee. I knew where all the restrooms were. I was always like getting Almond Joy candy bars, like mid shop because I just couldn't handle it anymore. I needed breaks and rest and food nourishment.
Yeah. And our area had just had a major snowstorm. What are all these people doing at Home Depot on a Monday?
Yeah.
Like, if you can't go to work, then be at home.
Yeah, for reals.
So the rest of it, you know, it's kind of largely inconsequential. Went in, cut me open, pulled the kid out. There you are. It was really kind of, I think, the buildup that makes the story what it is.
Yeah, I always felt, you know, with your first, it's like you don't know what to expect and you don't know how your story is going to be. You don't know how it's going to end. You hope it goes well, but it's just that buildup of the moment. And for the second, it's like you kind of know what to expect, but you are petrified of it because it hurts. And then you just sort of, again, you don't know how it's all going to go down. So you're just sort of, the anticipation is like ridiculously anxiety driven and ridden.
Yeah. Yeah. All the things you wish you knew.
Yeah.
Going into your first that you learned, you're like, this would have been so much easier if I'd just known all these things.
Yeah, for reals. And then number two?
I had a C-section, scheduled for like 8:30 the next one day. And so the night before, I just really couldn't sleep. Because how do you sleep? You know, the night before, knowing you're about to bring a life into the world.
Yeah.
So true. Went in. A little bit of a funny. So the anesthesiologist for my second was somebody that, you know, wasn't the same guy as I had for the first. And I don't know how many years before I'd read this New York Times study about how redheads need more anesthesia. Like, this is a scientifically
proven thing. Really? Interesting.
Yeah. So, the anesthesiologist was like, do you have any questions? I'm like, well, I have one that might be kind of stupid. He's like, no. And I'm like, so I read the study about how redheads need more anesthesia. And he like just walked out of the room.
Did he happen to bitch slap you too? Was he like, that would have been made it a slightly better scenario if he was just like, bitch slap, walk out of the room.
He kind of gave me like a pfft and the arm like kind of dismissed me and walked out of the room. It was really funny. And he was a really great anesthesiologist. Like when I was, you know, when I had the anesthesia and I was laying on the table and I was getting a little anxious, he was really nice, patting my hair. And calming me until Mike came in and then like kind of moved over so Mike could kind of take over. But it was really nice. Really
was Mike caring. Like, stop petting my woman's head and get out of here before I beat your ass?
I don't think Mike even
knew what was going on.
I was pre-petted. I was warmed up to his petting.
Well, like I said, it's birth stories. I love hearing other mommies' birth stories. You know, it's something you take with you. It's an experience. You don't know what to expect, and you have your kids, and then you become mommies. It's quite a ride.
Yeah.
But we do invite all of our listeners to send us your birth stories to SoThisHappened@BleepingMotherhood.com. And if we are able to share your story on our blog and we choose you, we will feature your story. So give us a shout. We'd love to hear from you.
And if you can share a crime scene experience too, that's great.
Yes, if there are any criminals and or gangsters that were hiding away in your womb, uterus, or fallopian tubes, we would love to hear that story as well. Yes. But we wish you a good evening. Have a great day. And until next time, have a great bleeping week, everybody.